The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does.
Good morning, everybody. Jefferson State of Mind. This is Terry Raposa, my partner, Wint Carpenter, and the Hat Man, our trusted producer. Hey, brother.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Travis. Keep Terry out of trouble, will you, please?
Yep.
I'll try.
We have guests on, so make sure you got your hand hovering over that butt in case they cuss.
That's what they're doing. Oh. Well, no, not over
you. Got to watch her, not him.
No, I was. I needed them to talk so I could hear their mics. That's what I was doing.
There you go. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM. We are also streaming live, KCNR1460.com. We're streaming worldwide. Sorry about that. First day of my new tongue. And we are archived for like ever. So mm-hmm. You can go back and listen to this anytime you want.
Past 7 years, you can go back and listen to what stories or lies we've told you.
Easy for you to say. I've got a couple of announcements here. First of all, we have a rally tomorrow night. It will be at 2175 Rosaline Avenue in Reading. That's near
Mercy Hospital.
Mercy Medical. It is.
Yep,
and
yep.
It starts at 4:30. This flyer says 16:30, but it's 4:30. I guess 16:30 military time.
Yeah.
4:30. It'll be the American Healthcare Workers for Medical Freedom, and they'll be out there. We need to support them, and we'll probably be talking a little bit about that. But anyway, it starts tomorrow at 4:30, so get there, support our medical people so that they are not mandated illegally to wear masks and mandated illegally to get a vaccine, which really isn't a vaccine, but that's a whole other story. Also, on Tuesday, August 10th at 4:45, there's a rally. And this rally will be at 2200 Eureka Way in Reading. It is a Let Them Breathe. It's about our kids. We need to unmask our kids. So it's going to be great so that people actually should have the choice of whether or not their kids mask or not mask. I mean,
is that a specific facility or something, or just an address that they gave?
That's the address I've got. Wait a second. It's for the Shasta Union High School District, so maybe that's
at Shasta High School?
2200 Eureka Way.
Shasta High School?
Sounds like it to me.
One of those there.
Mm-hmm. That's all I got here, buddy.
Okay.
Maybe you can kind of look that up and clarify it. Also, I want to do a shout-out to Larry Miller, and Larry listens religiously and has for a long time. How you doing, Larry?
And his beautiful wife, Ev. She's the one that keeps him out of trouble.
Well, it's a different Larry.
Oh, different Larry. Okay, never mind.
Oh, my.
Okay.
That's okay, buddy.
Awkward.
No problem at all. So anyway, moving right along here, we have some new places where you can sign the recall for Recall Shasta. One is at Reading Roofing. One is at the Veterans Diesel and Auto. And that's 5246 Westside Road, Jefferson State Diesel, at 8924 Airport Road, and the Tropics. They have a beer there.
Go to the Tropics.
Yeah. 2555 Market Street. Anyway, that's it for the announcements. So with any...
Without.
You got anything else?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Well, you're quiet this morning.
Usually am.
Man, a few words.
Mm-hmm.
Very few.
Yep.
Just a couple.
Just the important ones.
Sometimes.
We'll see.
Good.
Anyway, I am here with Karina and Lonnie Van Gay, and they are two wonderful people. And Lonnie, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born Bay Area, raised down there, moved to Chico when I started working in the fire service. Real young, kind of jumped around, that moved me. And then moved to Grass Valley. That's where I met Karina. And then moved up here. And when we were going to have kids, be closer to her family up this way, which has been a blessing to land up here with everything that we're fighting for and hopefully can get into on the show. But, yeah, I've spent 20 years in the fire service, and then the last 10 of those or so was also working, you know, building our business together, which started as a gym, which is now got other veins going on just by demand. You know, a passion for getting people healthy.
Sure.
It was a real wholesome thing at first and didn't really know what we got into, and it's been a ride since. So that's the basics on me. I had some fun times, though. I got to ride on the helicopter. I get to serve on the SWAT team and see a lot of good leaders. I used to go out on the Forest Service command teams and help work in communication side. So I got to get eyes behind the veil on a lot of different things, which has really fueled where we're at now as far as, you know, the recall and stuff, which we'll get into, I'm sure.
Awesome.
And Karina, how are you this morning?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. Tell us something about yourself.
Ooh, I'm a wife, mother of two, business owner, and I love all things freedom.
Our kind of girl.
Yeah.
Not short and sweet. Pin me down.
I know that all too well.
Okay, so both of you are advocates for the recall, and I'll start with you, Karina. Why is it you'd like to see these three supervisors recalled?
First of all, that's a really big question, so mm-hmm. I'm going to really kind of pare down just as simplistically as I can. Being a mother is one of the greatest gifts that I've ever been given, and I take that job very seriously, and realizing once COVID happened and kind of seeing what was going on, I'm a person who loves a good leader. I want, when I think back about the Constitution and when it was formed, I think about those people who were so brave and so courageous to create something new and to stand up for their beliefs no matter what it cost them. Some people called them rebels or the Great Rebellion, whatever, you know, slang terms. But I see them as these necessarily dangerous, brave men and women who did these great things. So when I look to a leader and I am like, where is that Braveheart, Mel Gibson fire to do what's right for the people around them that need them? I needed a leader for my children and for me that I can get behind. I did not have that. So you want to stoke a fire of a mama bear. The leadership that we elected weren't becoming the leaders we needed them to be in the moment. I've watched my husband for years under pressure, tactically, under fires, when he went into SWAT calls. I would watch the level of preparation my husband would do mentally, physically, to be able to be in that situation when the time arose that he was going to be called. And I watched what a true leader looked like through my husband, through what he did for work. And when I don't see that in somebody who agreed to be a leader or, for 100,000 plus people, and I see fear run their decisions, I see them giving off that answer of, oh, well, you just don't understand. You're not in the meetings. You're, you know, let me do my job and just don't bash me on it. I'm like, no, I don't think so anymore. I've seen what a true leader looks like. I know what I signed on for, and you're not giving me that. It's time to find new leaders. And I'm okay saying that. And it's not a personal attack. I don't know these people personally. I would never attack their person. I don't know them. I don't know their work ethic. But I did see how they led when the pressure got upon them. And they didn't do what was needed to do to make sure that I kept my voice, I kept my power, I kept my business running. They didn't help me announce do any of that. My husband, our staff, our team helped us all do that. Our community helped us do that. These people should have been on the front lines walking into every business.
Well, that's very true. You know, the only purpose of government is to secure and protect our rights. That's the only purpose. There is no other purpose. Yeah. And you're absolutely right, Karina. So,
that
funny.
That was a mic drop. Pop. Seriously, because everything you said, you're absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
You know, and you're looking at it from your perspective, which is huge, and you're not alone. I mean, there are many other mothers, fathers, everybody else that's out there, they're probably feeling the exact same way. I would gather there are a good many of them that feel that way. So what you said is spot on.
Spot on, and she's right. I mean, you know, that's their duty. That's what they're hired to do. Mm-hmm. So, Lonnie, what say you, my friend?
Similar, very similar. You know, I think you could look at it from the standpoint of leadership characteristics and how it played out in their behaviors, or you could look at it from, you know, more of the brass tacks of financial history, policies, and other things. You can look at it in either way, and I found just an immense amount of frustration because of being in the – and make no mistake, gyms, they're on the front lines of healthcare, right? Your doctor says you need to make some changes physically. You need to start going to the gym, start working out. Well, then they end up in our lap, and that has forced us to be very versed in what actually gets people results, what's going on with their minds, bodies, this whole thing. So when COVID hit, it was immediate. You know, it was like, okay, we got to start looking into how really to before you need a vaccine, before you're on a ventilator, all that stuff, right? That's where we stood in this thing to really affect good change.
Right.
And when I saw the supervisors be completely apathetic against the governor, when bars and liquor stores was the one that really triggered me to stay open and not my gym.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to have something come down on me, but they're essential.
A liquor store is essential?
Yeah, a liquor store. Well, it how it was broken down.
Yeah,
it was
silly,
exactly. Right?
You're right?
They sold
right.
a certain thing or whatever, and I'm like, wait a second, you know? So immediately we started seeing through that stuff, and we're like, how can these supervisors not be meeting with the professionals in their community?
Yeah.
They fell down just in that component alone. Mm-hmm. Doctors, what do you want to do?
And when
heads
the doctors,
of the hospital.
The doctor came and spoke to them, and they – absolutely dismissed everything that was said.
That upset me for like a week.
Yeah,
I
more
was,
than that, I think.
Oh, yeah. I was hot. I still am. You bring it up, and I'm like, I was fired up because, yes.
So I sat with that for a while. You know, like, which angle do you say, you know, it's grounds for recall? Well, pick one.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It could be fiscal mismanagement. It could be lack of representation. It could be apathy against, you know, the state mandates because they are. I'm like, they're not going to let. I watched, you know, Newsom make that announcement. I said, no, Shasta County is more conservative. They're not going to do this blanket policy and just follow suit. They're going to articulate something well. No, nothing. Mm-hmm. We actually reached out to their teams that they supposedly built in committees and got shuffled to phone number to phone number to phone number.
Yeah. Mind you.
Because we started doing the research, right, as proactive that we needed to do to actually serve our members. We said, okay, we need to get them doing this, this, and this for immunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's basic immunity stuff. It's not genius. And $0 were put towards that. Nothing was put towards that. It was kind of like, well, you know, this and that. But no, nothing real. Nothing where rubber meets the road to help community members actually fight this virus. It was all reactionary, and we fell back on masks and vaccine, which now we're seeing is the agenda of a money-making machine.
It's not really a vaccine either.
No, it's not. It doesn't
tell them about our offering. Tell them about what we offered to do for free for the entire Shasta County.
Well, go ahead.
Ooh, that fires me up. We offered to build an immunity plan for 6 months because when this all came down, it was spring, right? And so we knowingly said, okay, the real problem, if there's going to be a real problem, it's going to hit in October, November, December, if this thing is real, right? Because in the beginning, we're like, well, shoot, this is so unprecedented. Maybe there's something serious to it. And we, like good constituents and citizens, said, you know, okay, well, we need to see what this thing is. Let's evaluate because this is so odd, right? So then we garnered a plan and we said, and we called the powers that be. I won't name drop, but they were people in charge. And we said, let us get together with some of our local doctors. We will build. We have the power to put out to all of Shasta County via some of our background programs for free, immunity boosting things for the next 6 months. You can do powerful things for 6 months so that when October, November, December hits, we don't have another shutdown. We can, it doesn't mean we'd be perfect, but for the people who could do these things, and I'm not talking about just joining gyms, I'm talking about true immunity building lifestyle changes that could really help the entire community for free. They wouldn't even hear us out I was like, it would cost us a considerable amount of money to do this, but we will do it. We want to help the community. Nobody cared to listen to us.
No. And now Heinz, and that's all spawned from what we would like to see out of representatives, not reactionary and solution. Don't just stare at the problem. COVID, it's a problem.
Well, they're trying.
What's your solution?
They're trying to figure out how they get their palms greased in creating the solution.
Yeah,
you're offering something for free, and it's like, well, how do they get their take on it?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box there a little bit, but that's typically what you end up finding. What are they always going to benefit out of the chaos? You know, when we have a calamity or chaos that occurs in the community, how do the politicians? How do they benefit?
Right.
Very, very few of them act unless they have some benefit from it.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then that's the unfortunate thing where then you only get their heads to turn when it becomes painful for them.
Right.
Which, you know, I get it, that's what produces results, and we have to do that. And that's the point we're at. So for those that might be listening, which probably most of your listeners do want to sign that recall petition, but remember that's the only thing they're going to react to.
Yeah.
You're not going to keep educating them because we've been doing that, not me personally, but speaking at the supervisor's office and meetings and all that. But the number one, probably the final catalyst was when I actually went down to the Board of Supervisors meeting and witnessed the dysfunction. Once I saw, because here's the deal, like, we're all general knowledge. You go to a restaurant, you go to a different business, and you look at their bathroom, or you look at how they keep their, if you're going to a mechanic shop, you want old parts laying in every single corner in Hoarderville and never swept floor and all those things to work on your nice car, right? So you look at the basic functions. How do they answer the phone? What's my first impression? Right. All those different things. When I walked up to that meeting and saw the dysfunction, I said, I don't need to see any more. Mm-hmm. You have all the resources in this, $600 million budget, and this is how you're conducting a meeting?
Yeah.
And then it continued. You know, they weren't there. They pulled the seats. I mean, this is just...
At our expense.
Yeah, at our expense, and then did not want to represent us. And it wasn't a few that some like to paint it.
Yeah.
These were hundreds and thousands that were even behind those hundreds that showed up.
Right.
You know, so it's a huge portion of the population. They're trying to get something through to representatives, and they were just blind, couldn't even field the questions. It was just complete dysfunction. I said, I don't need to see any more. That's how they're running their budget. That's how they're running the department heads. That's how this whole thing is functioning.
Yep.
Exactly what we all witnessed.
Yeah.
So it's like that was enough evidence right there. And then when they actually did open it back up and we were sitting there and some supervisors are sitting there, some are videoing in and the response, the delay, you didn't even know if they were hearing what was being said. I'm like,
right.
It's still going on.
Yep.
You have $600 million in your budget and you can't even put forth a more professional thing. Like I could not do that. We could not do that at our gym.
They're not holding themselves to a level of excellence that, let's say, business owners have to, because everything we do relates to dollars for us.
Right.
Do or don't do. And we're not perfect business owners by any means. We're learning. We're changing. We're growing. But, man, those stings when you lose a client because you didn't follow through or you didn't do something well, that lesson hurts. And you try your best to remember it. But when you have carte blanche, you just get paid no matter what you do, and you like, who do you, when you're not answering to anybody, there is no natural law of consequences at that point, and they have not had to eat their own fruit, which stinks, man.
And that's a good point. And talk about eating your own fruit. Leonard Modi, after the car fire,
he was going to drink his.
Yes, he went on the air and he told everyone, don't go behind the lines, don't disrupt our folks that are working back there, our firemen, our police, our sheriff's department. And then he goes and has Eric McGreaney chauffeur him behind the lines, sometimes as much as twice a day, to check on his home and to start his generator when none of us could go, using his power and his authority.
Mm-hmm. Abusing it.
That's a predator.
Well, it is. Also, the reason that the sheriff's department complied, or at least this would be their reason, is because Leonard Modi was the chairman of the board and he controlled their budget. So
absolutely,
he controlled the purse strings. So he goes back there, even gets two bottles of wine, very expensive bottles of wine. And that was the one thing that Eric McGreaney was upset about, is everything else was okay. But once he got the wine, he really didn't like that. You know, when you stop and think about this, there's been a lot of allegations against Carlos Zapata, against a lot of people, against with the FPPC, against the Red, White, and Blueprint, against Recall Shasta, all these different allegations of criminal activity. The only person that has been found guilty of a crime is Leonard Modi. The grand jury.
Great point.
The grand jury actually said that he was guilty of misfeasance, which was really malfeasance, because he used his power and authority.
Yeah.
And he was found guilty and the only one. And the egregiousness of this man and the position of this man to do these things that are that are criminal, are truly criminal, is beyond the pale. And it certainly doesn't fit into them eating their own fruit, does it?
No, nor, you know, their oath of office. Huh. You know, he's violated it. Do you have any moral fabric left in your bones? Walk away from your seat.
Yeah, where's your humility?
You have been found guilty. You should have some remorse, and that remorse should look like, I'm not fit to lead.
No, he did. You know? He did recuse himself.
Well, that he read from a script with zero emotion.
Right.
Yeah. And he voted for himself. Oh, that's flimsy. Step down. Get out of there. That is what would be, you know, the leaders I work for that I respected, right, or representatives that we all look up to, that would be, they'd leave.
Right.
And you're done. Resign at that point. You know, and he just, the arrogance, I just can't even believe it.
Well, you have to remember his history, too, when he was chief of police. He was fired by a 5-0 vote of a Reading City Council.
Right.
So, hello, folks. Yeah. That's fact.
Yeah. Was that and like then, the only 5-0 vote?
Probably in the Reading City history, or City of Reading Council history, probably. But it was a 5-0 vote for him to be terminated. He was terminated. But then the city manager hired him as assistant city manager.
Right.
And so that's the city manager. Two city managers ago or three managers ago is long gone. They're all retired at, you know, $1 million a year or whatever it is they get. So it's just perpetual.
Yes.
And so then after that happened, and then he retired fully with the everything he got from the city after being fired, then he ran for city for a board supervisor.
Yeah.
And then he got that because he ran on his name, because people are ignorant. I'm not saying people are stupid. I'm saying they're ignorant absolutely to the facts of what really has been going on. Yeah. They haven't done their homework. They don't listen to people that do know what's been going on and have done their homework. And it's very frustrating because we run across that all the time. Oh, no, no, this guy's a good guy. Do you know what's really going on?
Right. Well,
and you try to explain to them. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're going to put your blinders on. You can't lead them to water. Because some of these folks, if I could lead them to water, I would hold them under. Because it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, my gosh. You want to explain it to them, but then you can just tell by their stance and just their immediate reaction. It's like, they're not going to go there. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. You just have to walk away. Because it's better that I walk away than try to encourage them to understand, because right, they're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's sad because we have a lot of them here.
Yeah.
And they're on both sides of the fence, and they're the same parties, whatever party you belong to, that they're there.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating.
I do want to bring up, too, that if you have a question or a comment, you can call into 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. We've got about a minute and a half. And we were talking outside about something that you guys have a plan for the kids. Mm-hmm. By the way, you have how many children?
Two.
And what are their ages?
6 and 9.
Awesome. Now, are you homeschooling them? Or?
We are. We're homeschooling.
Oh, outstanding. Okay.
Good job.
So we want to talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to get into a little bit about what happened with Eric McGreaney, a little bit about some of this corruption, and a little bit more about how we get back what we need. And I'm going to take this down real quick in this segment. The silver bullet to everything we have is representation. If we don't have representation, nothing matters. We have to protect the Second Amendment, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Without the protection of the Second Amendment, we have no protection of anything. And the third thing is, once we have elected these people, we have to give them the apportionment so that they are able to represent the people that have elected them, and they have to be held accountable to the same laws, same restrictions, same rules that we are, that are constitutionally legal.
Amen.
So with that, I think we're going to...
Let's take the call real quick.
We only got a minute.
That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go quickly.
Okay, Laura, shoot away, girl.
Yes, okay. I'm out here in Happy Valley. We have a water crisis.
Yeah.
My husband's been going to the Clear Creek Community Service Water District meetings. Excuse me, I'm still milking the goat, so I'm not there. But nobody believes our blankety blank supervisor Modi has been coming to these meetings. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. If there's anybody that says, "Hey, we saw him and he was helpful," please let me know.
Well, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, sounds good. Now, if you want, you can. Do you have anything else? Do you want to hold on?
No, sir. Thank you guys for what you do.
Well, okay, hang in there, you guys. With you know the lack of water out there, just be safe.
Hey, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Everybody's hauling water out here to our livestock and everything else.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Bye-bye. Okay, with that, we'll go off to our break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this town he's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string.
Sally Lou.
Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something.
Sally Lou does that music. Thank you, baby.
That was Aaron Tippin.
That's a good song. Good song.
She's one who puts together our music.
Spot on for our time right now.
She's one who puts together our music.
She does.
She puts our music on there.
Yep.
She picks out the songs early in the morning.
Because you can't be trusted.
I can't be. She has a better taste.
And that I
nailed
played
it. Thank you, Sally.
See, that was from Lonnie. I'm here with Lonnie and Karina Bengay, two awesome people who have a couple of awesome kids, and they have an awesome idea. Come on, Karina, let's hear the idea.
Roll it, babe.
So we are currently business owners. We own Country Strong Fitness out in Palo Cedro. We're working on our 7th year now. So that's been wonderful. But it's also opened our eyes to a need. And coupled with everything going on in the world, we ended up homeschooling our kids. And we saw a ton of wonderful things come of that in our own family. A lot of realizations of what our kids were needing that we weren't giving them when they were gone 5 days a week from us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we would have moments of real clarity. We'd look at each other and be like, "What? How did we allow the when did the public school become our puppet master?" I mean, really, like, they control our schedule when we get to go on vacations. Of course, you don't want your kids to miss all the school and all the learning that you're thinking is happening. And there are some, you know, we want to be real careful. We don't want to ever bash schools because we know there's good teachers. We know that there's people who really care about the children. But we ended up realizing it
didn't fit.
It didn't fit for what we wanted to see out of our life and our family. Mm-hmm. And the more time the children spent away from us, the more it was like, wow, this isn't going well. And there was a lot more to it. But so we ended up really recognizing that although we didn't want the five-day-a-week experience, we still needed experts in our life to help bolster some of the learning and some of the teaching. And I was terrified. I'm not going to lie. I was terrified of homeschooling. I wasn't a straight-A student. I worked really hard and really struggled just to get what I did get. And that was with effort. So it was really a weak spot. Like most moms I hear, I cannot homeschool. My kids won't listen. They won't learn from me. Luckily, we had some good families around us that really kind of kept feeding into my soul and my spirit, telling me, keep going. You can do this. This looks different than regular school. It's okay. Your kids are not going to not learn. I was terrified. Like, I kept questioning. I would look at him and be like, am I hurting the children by not doing? And he was like, absolutely not. Look at all areas of their life. And so he started, you know, pouring into me and the kids, pointing out what things were changing for the better for us with this homeschool stuff. But I still knew I needed more. So I'll let you kind of take over as what, because you weren't in it like me, but you were really observing from a, you know, a dad standpoint what he was seeing.
Yeah, and I just saw that I had to take that candid look at the whole picture of who taught me what education should look like? What did I actually win and lose by the education that I had, just a 2-year degree, but what did I actually take from 12 years in school? You know, what were the true lessons? What do we all remember about the different components of school? And just really unpacking that thing. I won't do that because we'll bore everybody and it's very personal, but it got down to the fact of most of it's perishable. Most of it is to take a test and you forget it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of go through the motions. A lot of our time spent in school is that way. And I don't mean to downplay it, but that is unfortunate. If you give it a candid look, you're going, wait a second, yeah, what did I learn from all of that?
Yeah.
And then when you get out and work, you end up learning a specific skill set that you become very expert in, and you work it hard.
Yeah.
But really then it comes down to these other principles that I feel like the public school is not delivering as well, that are actually character in the human. So when you start addressing those things, I wanted the character of my wife and I to be imprinted on my kids. And if we're both working full-time and then the kid is with a teacher that you don't get to vet year to year, you don't get to pick. They're in this school, so the next teacher, oh, that was a bad year. Well, how much influence was that over your child? You know, so we started giving all that a candid look. And then it was Karina started doing it. And her bravery and willingness to step into that by moral obligation, I cannot say enough about, because I was still out of the house working most of the time, you know. And anyway, so as we got further into it, months into it, it was very clear with the other families and moms that we were meeting with, you still need to get the kids together and let them learn from each other, have group activities. We obviously, with the gym, we had kids' classes going, even through COVID, to get them getting their wiggles out. They need to stay healthy. They need to see each other. They need to socialize. So we're not the homeschool hermit types by any means. And we had many friends that were the same way. But what's the gap? So we've come up with a learning center that will be run out of the last suite of our gym. I'm currently working on the build-out. And it will be a few days a week where your kid gets dropped off, gets targeted tutoring from your home for your homeschool stuff where there's some friction in the learning, and also get to hang out with other kids and do field trips, learn practical skills, learn unbiased history. We won't touch sex ed, you know, it'll be a much different thing. That's basically a tutoring center, a learning center.
Let me ask you this: where can is this something that you want to go public with now, or you
we're public, man?
Okay, yeah, well,
we have a page and a website.
We want to hear the website and the phone number and all that stuff.
CountryStrongLearningCenter.com is where people can go and start getting information. In fact, we're hosting an open house to give more of the information of what the program is. That will be August 12th at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. You get to meet the staff and see what we're going to be offering in the fullness of the program. And so that's going to be really exciting. And then we're also looking for sponsors for what we're putting together. They're welcome to come to the open house, but we'll also be selling tickets. Those aren't for sale yet. But August 27th, watch out, because here we come with a sponsorship dinner. We have a full kitchen and venue attached to our gym. And we'll be hosting a beautiful event there to raise money for simple things like more tables and chairs so we can house this really cool room. We want actually work gloves, ponchos, rain boots for the kids. Why? Because we're going to be working and we're going outside. And so we don't want there to be any excuses or any reasons why they can't do that. So we want to have some extra supplies like that. A little bit of extra fencing. So we're trying to raise some extra income to do this great stuff.
Absolutely.
And the staff that we got on board.
They left their job.
They left their
They're
jobs.
They're as impassioned as anybody.
Let me ask you this. So. Now, do you have, is this a 501? Is this a 501C?
Yep.
Which one?
What 501C.
C what?
C what?
C3.
Okay.
Oh, it is? Okay, because the C3 is tax deductible.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure I got that out there.
Yeah, because we have a 4 and we work with a 3, so that's why we're asking.
Yeah,
because the C3 is...
C3.
Yeah, okay, that's very important because it is education, which is wonderful. Okay, what I'd like you to do, if you could, can you send that information to me?
Yep.
And send it, and you're going to have it on Facebook, because this, and I want you to go through and repeat everything you said on where it is, when it is, about the fundraiser. That sounds great.
Yep.
All that different stuff, but this is fantastic. So,
before you do, what grade levels are you offering?
Oh, good point.
We are taking 6-year-olds all the way through high school.
Wow.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Very cool.
Okay. And credentialed teachers left their other jobs to come with us.
Wow.
So these are professionals with experience with all ages in actual classroom setting and adapting the good takeaways and the bad ones, right, from where their experience in the public school system to be able to say, okay, this is what we need to do. And a quick thing on our website, if you visit it, you know, CountryStrongLearningCenter.com, you'll read this stuff, but it's great. Learning through experiences. Simple. We want the kids to experience, right?
And this is amazing.
We want to partner with parents raising strong, free, and fearless kids.
Yeah.
Programs for kids to learn to be strong and retain freedom.
Wow,
it's a patriotic school as much as it's anything else.
That's amazing.
This is great. You know, we need to have that announcement. We need to get Carl Bott to have them on and discuss this.
Yes.
I better not say school, though. Sorry. It's a learning center. Yeah.
It is a learning center.
Okay. Because
I don't want the tyrant's hand in it.
Yeah, right. Gotcha.
But it's just going to look so different than what school is. One of our number one priorities is to empower families to have more family time.
Yes.
We want the children who come to our facility to spend more time with mom and dad.
Yes.
But we are there to come behind and bolster their learning, let them know, hey, they're doing good. We can provide experiences and this extra hand in the learning, where if parents are struggling like me, and I mean, I don't have it all figured out, but you know what? We hired some of the most awesome people and teachers. We hired, a lady who's going to come in and do cooking lessons during lunch. We have chores, responsibilities, and the high school kids will have earn back potential of some of their tuition every month.
Are you getting getting donations right now?
We have been the only donors so far.
So that was one thing I was going to mention is our gym, our front venue space, and now this is self-funded. We've never 100%. Taken a loan.
Yeah.
We have just grounded.
For
grounded.
Seven years.
Well, the 501, you need. So, and that is up and running.
So we have to verify, you know, how you're waiting for the state entity to get back to you,
which,
right? So we're trying to do the final verification that we're good to go on that. Until then, we will make it all work, and we can still take some support.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
good.
Can still do it,
but well, you can operate. You can really. Operate as you know. You've applied and all that good stuff. Pay
yep.
the fee.
Yep.
Everything is done. Everything's
then you
been
can,
paid.
You can start.
Yeah. We did that last year. We created this last year, knowing that we were going to push into this, but.
Yeah.
We just had to. There were some timing things that we had to work on.
And we're going to do, you know, we want to get it back to where you know your teachers, you know the other parents that are involved, and it's keyed in families that want to be involved. That's who we're headhunting.
The fundraiser sounds great. That's going to be August the 27th?
August 27th, yes.
Do you have a time for it in that?
From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and of course 9 p.m. is loose if we're having a good time.
And there'll be a full meal, and you'll get to see the facility.
Now, do you have prices on your tickets yet?
Yeah, they're going to be $50 a person. Okay. That includes appetizers and drinks, but not alcoholic beverages.
Okay, there won't be any alcoholic beverages there at all?
No.
No.
Okay.
Good. Good, good.
Okay, that's good. So then you won't get in trouble
well,
with that.
Well, it's for kids. It's for kids.
Right.
Kids will be on site. So
absolutely.
We're just being respectful. If it was purely adults.
Yeah.
We wouldn't mind, but this is for kids. Kids will
this
be there.
This is so cool, you guys.
Yeah,
this is,
so we want to keep it, you know.
Yeah,
we got to get the word out there on this. This is
so
very important.
How much again are the tickets?
$50 a person.
Okay, and then, again, the time frame?
It's going to be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay, and that's on August 27th.
Yes, August 27th at Country Strong Fitness, which is also working as our site for one of our suites.
Is that $96.50?
No.
9452. 9452.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 9452
Deschutes
Road.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. This is great. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, as we kind of get back into the county stuff and look at what's going on with our local government, you know, it's
well, the government helped them to create this.
They
Thank
did.
You,
That's
government.
The
they did, yeah.
Words out of my mouth. We've been working together too long. We kind of finish each other's sentences.
Look what the government did.
Yeah.
They forced you to create this.
It did. So anyway, so I think the thing is that we have to start understanding that things like this are being created, but it's been really interesting because the people we've interviewed,
mm-hmm.
the husbands and wives.
Yeah, the wives are the, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is so cool about it is that you know, the couples we've had on here have been just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something to where, you know, I think that the strength, the family strength that we've seen, it's like, you know, you look at the side of people are saying, hey, we need to make a change. We need to get rid of these three supervisors. They're not spending our money wisely. One of them has broken the law. They're probably more than
as
one.
As far as that's blatantly
obvious. We caught one.
Yeah.
You know, but all this stuff is happening. And, you know, it's a lot of couples, younger couples with their kids that are established either in a business or they have careers and all that good stuff. And it's all these people that are standing up and starting to understand government.
Mm-hmm.
And about 4 weeks ago, we did a show on the Constitution
mm-hmm.
and the understanding of how that works and where the power is locally and the power is in the states. And it was pretty good. I recommend people go back about 4 weeks and listen to that because I think the understanding of where the power lies is really something we don't get. A lot of people say it's we the people. Actually, it's we the states. So the thing is once you start looking at the Constitution, how it works, that it is a compact, not a contract. Compact is a contract. A compact is a contract, but a compact is something that's done by governmental, legal entities. So when the states formed, the federal government. What the federal government is the product of the compact.
Mm-hmm.
The 13 states got together. They said, we're going to form this thing over here. You're going to be able to do these certain things that we'll enumerate in this thing we're going to call the Constitution. If we don't like what you're doing, we're going to do a little thing called an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And that means two-thirds of us get together, and if the three-quarters of the two-thirds want you to still do it, we'll say so. If we don't want you to do it, you can't do it anymore. What we've done is we have allowed our state, which in California, the counties are legal subsidies. That's one thing we do have in the California Constitution. We've allowed the state to dictate to our counties when the counties really do have the power. And you hit it right on the nose, Lonnie, when you talked about the oath of office. That's Article 20 in the California Constitution. They have to take an oath of office to the Constitution of the United States and the California Constitution. The challenge is when they break that, what are the consequences?
Right.
That's the challenge. Now, only 31 of the 50 states have the opportunity to recall their local officials. We have friends in Georgia. In fact, we talked to Jenny Beth Martin, who's the president of Tea Party Patriots, and she said, we can't recall. They call their supervisors commissioners there. Mm-hmm. We cannot recall our commissioners. There's no.
They have to wait.
Election cycle. Mm-hmm. And so when you have all this different stuff going on, and we have this opportunity, so people say, "Well, why recall?"
Yeah.
It was the last thing we could do. We stood outside. Moms with children stood outside that board of supervisors
in the heat and smoke.
In 100 degrees and
no shade.
Mm-hmm. And they were allowed to come in one at a time, stand at the back of the room, while those people that are supposed to be public servants. I call them public tyrants. The public servants sitting back there,
yeah,
air conditioned, and guess what? They're all getting paid full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
nothing changed for them. Their feet weren't put to the fire.
That's right.
Like the rest of us,
right?
And like us moms and dads.
Yeah. I mean, we had to when it first hit, and they just went along with it, like we all did, probably mostly the first 2 weeks. We had to check all of our gym equipment out to our members. I mean, because it was like, well, basically, you know, who knows where this goes, but if they stayed current. And so we watched all of our equipment go out, you know, and it's like, okay, those supervisors sitting up there, if they would have gone through something like that,
right,
they perhaps would have been more motivated to dig into this thing and get some more information. Maybe. But the fact that the candidates we're talking about didn't.
Yeah.
And never have still to this day, just start resisting.
Right.
These people, and these aren't everyday schmucks just trying to create a bunch of noise. These are professionals, experts. The fact that they're not listening, get them out of there.
Well, and yeah. And still, the local representatives, the Board of Supervisors, has the power to ignore the state mandate.
Yes.
We were in it for 2 weeks. We agreed for 2 weeks, right? What are we now? 500 and some days?
State of emergency still?
Hello? Yeah.
Mess.
What a hot flipping mess.
Yeah, mess.
So, and they still have the power to do that. They are the executive and legislative branch of our county.
Right.
That's what their position is, executive and legislative. They can do it.
Right.
They can say, we're not going to comply.
Yes.
But they've taken so much garbage. Well, they've taken so much money and services and signed on with the governor that they are duty-bound in their mind to the governor versus to the citizens who elected them into the position.
Well, it's a social contract. I mean, that's what they're using as a social contract. You don't take an oath to a social contract.
Right.
You take an oath to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state.
Okay, we have a caller on the line, too.
Okay.
Let's get to her real quick.
Oh,
hey,
Dolores.
Good morning,
How
are you?
Good morning. I had a question, something that you mentioned, Terry, about Modi, what he did in the city when the fire took place, right?
Right.
That Magrini and Modi actually were involved. Isn't that theft, you know, what they committed? Because they actually took something, like he used the city car. He took that without permission. And isn't it a crime what they committed? Because they actually took everything from, you know, the people, it's theft what they did. It's a crime.
Yeah,
so
they were using county resources is what you're saying,
yeah,
for personal gain.
Yeah, it's actually, right, it's actually Penal Code 484, and then also it's Penal Code 488, and then Penal Code 487. It's actually taking something for their personal gain. That's a crime. That's theft.
Right.
They really didn't gain anything because they had possession. He owns the house and he owns the wine. So you can't steal from yourself. But I think that.
She's not saying that. She's
no,
saying
I'm
that he's using
like
county services.
487 would be.
Yes, exactly. The services,
right.
The money. I mean, they get paid by the people.
They,
right.
use the county equipment and employees,
yes,
for personal,
exactly,
gain.
Exactly.
Well, yeah,
yep,
and
exactly.
Okay, yeah. However, the thing is that the sheriff. See, here's the tricky part. The undersheriff had the jurisdiction to go behind the lines. But to go behind the lines is the reason they went behind the lines. But he has the jurisdiction. They could have gone anywhere in,
right,
that car. But the real crime, and of course, as you know, Modi was found guilty of misfeasance. It should have been malfeasance. It should have been a felony. We talked about that last week in our program on how the district attorney helped with that verdict and helped in a way to where it went from malfeasance to misfeasance. Could there be a reason for that?
Yes,
sir. You need to watch episode 5 of the Red, White, and Blueprint.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
4 o'clock.
Yes. And I think you're going to be very surprised. We have to get the word out there on that. And Dolores, thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores.
You know, Dolores had an interesting thing happen to her a few years ago. She kind of got railroaded, just to say the least, by the county. But, you know, it's funny how the county uses certain priorities politically, like they did with Alyssa McEwen and Ronnie Lund.
Right.
When they sent out, when our district attorney sent out.
Understaffed, overworked.
Underpaid. A year behind in cases.
Yep.
There's murders out there.
That need to be solved.
Robberies.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff.
Yep.
However, these underpaid, understaffed, overworked, poor district attorney investigators were sent to two law-abiding citizens, one in which has two children, and her husband works in law enforcement. You know, I know, Ms. Bridget, that you can't talk about the case, but my question is, how do you prioritize where you're overworked, understaffed, underpaid, hardworking, year behind investigators go? Is it more important to go to two law-abiding citizens' homes and spend the money on that, or should we investigate really, you know, bad crimes like murder, theft?
Yeah. Malfeasance.
Maybe you'd like to come on our show.
Yeah.
We'd love to do an interview. And again, we won't ask you about the case. I just want to know about your priority. That makes sense?
How do you triage your calls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because somebody had to commission you to go, supposedly, right? So
right.
You get calls all the time.
Who was
to
that?
Investigate something.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Why is this all so secretive?
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
Because this is all our tax dollars and all our servants and representatives.
That's right.
It's not the reverse. We're not beholden to you.
And
they're beholden to
somebody's
us.
Somebody's beholden to somebody,
yeah.
Though. Huh?
Yeah. Something's going
you
on.
Think?
This and serious intimidation factor to these law-abiding citizens who have done nothing wrong.
Nothing
and they've
wrong.
Done everything right. That's the problem. They've done everything right, legal and moral.
Yeah.
They've been on the right track, and they're doing it properly.
And
who's that?
Gaining momentum. It's gaining momentum, which scares someone that has something
to hide.
Yeah.
Because then they know, hey, maybe a forensic audit's going to come out, and then they're going to be exposed for everything. Well, you should be worried because that's what's coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what blows my mind is about this whole thing? And again, like I've told you, Terry, I'm not afraid to admit that I don't understand all the ins and the outs of what powers have been taken from me. I didn't understand that what the sheriff accepting the position, why that was such a big deal. And I'm not embarrassed to admit it because I never learned that. I didn't even know. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So when it's explained, like, why that's so bad, like, hey, no, this is why, my voice got stolen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang it, I'm so sick of having my voice taken. I want a right to vote somebody in that I agree with. But that's neither here nor there. But what I find fascinating about all of this stuff is, A, the lack of humility in the leadership, which is a key quality that I would love to see in a true leader. But that with a recall coming, would you not, if you guys truly were in the shoes of one of these people, would you pause and would you say to yourself, you know what, I need to meet with these people. I need to hear what they have to say because I am flawed. I can make mistakes. This was a pressure that I never knew was coming. Who could know? I didn't deal with this well. If one of these supervisors could publicly stand up, remove the plexiglass, take your mask down, and look at me and say, in a group of people, unafraid, and just say, you know what? I did not do the best job. I'm so sorry. Let's rebuild this thing together. Let's figure this out. Tell me where I went wrong, according to the mass majority, and I will tell you why I made the decisions I made. And I'm going to come hell or high water. I want to move forward.
Yeah, you just explained one word. It's called honor.
Yeah.
You just explained the word honor. And the thing is that the reason you don't do that is because you're trying to cover your
backside.
Can I say that word?
Yep.
Can I?
Arse.
Yeah, I can. I can say ass.
You guys can't say the word and then ask me if you can say it. You've already said it.
Oh, okay. So that's the deal. And that's why they don't. And see, the thing is you're coming from a standpoint of honor, truth, and justice.
Yes.
And with that, I hear the music.
So time to go.
Thank you, Lonnie. Thank you, Karina. Thank you guys are amazing. Please come back again.
Yes, please.
Yep. We'll do it.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
See the bill we all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.